Good evening and welcome to Blind Spot. Tonight we are proud to present Up Close and Personal, an interview featuring the talents of Carrie Butler, Jerry Mead, John Wanzel, and myself. I'm Lisa Miller. Each week, Blind Spot creates a unique live radio experience that explores the possibilities of radio. For more information about the program and the group of artists, writers, musicians, performers, and art professionals that work on the show, please visit our website at stopgostop.com/blindspot. And now, live on WLUW 88.7 Chicago, Blind Spot presents Up Close and Personal. Good evening. I'm Lisa Miller. Tonight we have the pleasure to welcome Jerry Mead and John Wanzel to the program. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hey. On tonight's program, we'll focus on the lives of two community producers, the ups and downs of putting together an hour of radio without a budget or much organization, and how that affects their social, economic, and daily lives. Jerry Mead is the longtime host and producer of Labor Express, Chicago's only locally produced radio program about Chicago's working people. Labor Express airs Sunday nights, 7 to 8 p.m. on WLUW 88.7 Chicago. John Wanzel is the co-founder and producer of Blind Spot, WLUW's experiment in radio, which is also on Sunday nights, airing from 10 to 11 p.m. now. Jerry and John come from two different ends of the radio spectrum, but their passion for what they do brings us together here tonight. Let me first ask you a little bit about your programs. Can you both describe the kinds of programs you do?
John, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Well, Blind Spot is basically the major part that we're really concentrating on is this kind of live-to-air radio, trying to expand what people think of the medium of radio, as well as looking at different ways to produce radio. So different kind of elements, different kind of systems, as well as different themes, different strategies.
All right. Okay. And Jerry?
Well, Labor Express is, as you said, the only program in Chicago that focuses on issues of labor and of issues that are concerned to working people. It's been on the air for 10 years. I've only been hosting for a little over a year. I took over a little over a year ago from the host who had decided to retire after doing it for about 9 years and decided it was time to move on to other things. But we cover not only the labor movement, but also other things that are concerned to working people, like housing, education, healthcare, immigrants' rights, those kind of things.
So what would you say are the two most important aspects of Labor Express for you?
The two most important aspects of Labor Express. One, giving voice to people's struggles, both locally, nationally, and internationally. I think that's the prime mission of us being on the air. And secondly, to break the media monopoly that corporations have over the airwaves by giving space for labor.
Mm-hmm. And how would you respond to that, John, the two most important aspects?
I think one is just to try to embrace the medium of radio for all of its artistic possibilities. So that would probably be number one. And the number two is kind of like working with a group of people, a group of people, to try to produce a different live show every week and not to fall into these kind of programs that are accepted through the media and that are expected of. So not being a place that just takes a prepackaged item and puts it to air, but creates a unique a unique item every week.
Okay. Non-fetishized radio. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good way. So you're more of a creative type.
Yeah, I think
say.
That's probably true.
Okay.
I just said that.
What do you think your shows say about yourself?
Creative type? Oh my God.
That I don't have a life. No, I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh.
You know, obviously, I've been involved in struggles, human rights struggles, labor struggles, solidarity movements with Latin Americans, so on, for over 15 years, going back to when I was in high school. So actually quite a bit over 15 years now, unfortunately, I have to say. Mm-hmm. This stuff is important to me enough that I'm willing to spend, you know, 15 to 20 hours a week putting those voices
really
on the air.
I bet he thinks my questions are just
what do
ridiculous.
You think has been your most triumphant moment having to do with labor? Mm. Is it on your radio show? Is it off your radio show?
Ooh. Interesting. My most triumphant moment in terms of my whole experience of organizing and being involved with labor. So not just in the show, but in the broader
just
sense.
The whole broad scheme of it all.
Is you it know, in many here? Ways, I still look back at my first involvement with organizing, with labor organizing particularly, or with the labor movement, I should say, in particularly, back in the early 90s with a movement called the State of the Workers Solidarity Committee. It was a committee that was in solidarity with workers in Decatur, Illinois, and a struggle that was going on there. It was the first time I had that kind of direct involvement in a labor struggle, and it was very interesting for me to see workers in a small town in Illinois go through the kind of transformations that they went through. A lot of them were Vietnam vets, people that grew up in a small town, weren't necessarily very politically conscious at the beginning, but in the course of that struggle, they became very politically conscious, very committed to not only that struggle, but many of them went on to involve themselves in other struggles, labor struggles, struggles for racial justice, and so on, after that struggle. And that was very transformative for me as well, because I got to see the power that working people can have when they're mobilized.
Okay, so that seems to be that's cool. And that's also my email. rather more than a moment. But that seems like a whole evolutionary stage era. Thank you.
No problem.
What about a triumphant moment for you, John?
A triumphant moment. Sometimes I think that every time we get through a show is a triumphant moment. That's just because of sometimes the problems with live radio. But I think one of the most satisfying moments in some ways, because the show hasn't been on very long. I haven't been a part of this kind of live experience for it's just been about 9 months.
So you're differentiating satisfying and triumphant.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
go
so.
Ahead.
Yeah. I think that one of the most satisfying has been recently being at a WLUW staff meeting and then outside afterwards and a couple people came up and just introducing ourselves and someone going, oh, hey, yeah, you do that blind spot program. Oh, I really enjoyed this or enjoyed that. It's just like knowing that someone is listening and is getting things from it and is excited to hear what's going
is
to be coming up next.
There's probably, you know, they'd probably like to hear that you're recognizing your voice.
Yeah.
And kind of makes you feel like a big man, huh?
No, well, it's just the acknowledgement that something that I'm a part of is being heard.
Oh my God,
and people enjoy it
red?
Because sometimes sitting here late at night in the radio station is kind of an isolating behavior, and it's you're not always sure exactly if anyone's hearing
here?
Your voice or anyone is listening.
I don't know.
I'm
listening right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's three of us tonight.
That's true.
And John may remember that I had a similar triumphant moment the other day when during the pledge drive somebody called and said, "Who's on the air now?" And the person that was on the phone said, "Oh, the guy that does Labor Express." Labor Express, what program is that? Oh, that's the one that involves all those people talking. So I had a moment of recognition as well. So
made you feel big too.
It made me feel wonderful. I'm the program that's known as the program where people talk a lot.
All
that's
right.
There we
well,
go.
Then I'm going to ask you to pare your words down.
Okay.
I want you to describe your show in four words.
Describe my show in four words.
You can also describe the whole, you know, evolutionary transformation of working people to becoming more aware of themselves too. If you want to throw
four
that
words.
Into yeah, four words.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the tagline of my
yeah,
show is
up,
four
man.
Is four words
four
if you
words.
Remove the connecting words. It's
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. by working people for working people. So if you just use the working people
working
and you eliminated the connecting words.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, what if It was only
what am I supposed to say about
one
that?
Word.
It's only one word. It'd be working.
Working.
Working. Oh, that's
where do
good.
I go with that one? That's good.
That's
yeah.
rich.
Oh, no, where do I go? What am I
okay, two
to
words,
say now?
John.
Weekly experiment, I think, is probably
they
how.
Probably think this
oh,
wait, is the
my program or his. My program, I'd say.
Yeah,
just
weekly experiment.
Just a weekly experiment.
Or blind spot.
Well, but that's the title, so
oh,
I
yeah,
think
you
that
can't
really
use the
works.
Title, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, done. Yeah, how would you describe his show in two words?
Is this an interesting
experimental
interview?
Radio. Is that, was that the same thing, I guess?
I guess you can do that. It's a little. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, John, you talked a lot about kind of the essence of radio. So I really want to get it at the heart of it, at
yeah.
the gist of what you're saying. What is your definition of radio?
I think that in some ways, my definition of radio is kind of a radio that really relies on is kind of a electronic mediation, that becomes something that's very important in what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the kind of the possibility of the instantaneousness of broadcast. So this kind of liveness becomes really important to what I think of and what I do for radio, as well as this kind of ideas of geographic range of the transmission itself, that becomes part of what I work with radio. And then I think the fourth, in some way, is just this kind of like acknowledgement.
Wait,
of
just
history.
Hold on. Can you get WLUW where you're at?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So you're within that geographical range.
I have about 20 feet of speaker wire around my the ceiling of my apartment that I use for an antenna, which increases the ability to get
that,
the station.
That certainly does.
But yeah.
Oh, four. Sorry.
Oh, and four is kind of this kind of like looking at and acknowledging the history of the media and how it
like.
Intersects and kind of transmit and translates culture. So those are kind of the things in the back of my mind that used to define my working with radio.
Wires
mm-hmm. Transmitting culture.
Yeah, that becomes part of it.
Yeah.
Gadgets and wires.
So do you think that radio? Do you think it's a method of expression?
Yes.
I can't believe that.
How?
Where can you go with that question? Come on.
Well, actually, it's interesting. I never thought about it much until I became involved in the show. But I've realized that radio is a unique form of expression
mm-hmm.
In the sense that, you know, video is something that you can't engage in other activities while you're doing. So I think in some ways people have I'm not sure even how to put this exactly, but you know, I noticed that I do listen to radio a lot when I'm traveling in the car or when I'm doing things around my apartment and so on. So it in some ways it fits better into my life than watching television does, which I rarely ever do because I don't have the time to do.
You can't take that TV too many places.
No, exactly. So I think in some ways radio has a great potential. I mean, I think some people think that radio is almost passe in a video world. Like, you know, what's the point of you know, it's much more important to have your work on video than mm-hmm. it is on radio. And certainly I have a attachment to visual stimulus, I guess, myself to some degree. But
who doesn't?
Exactly. But for some reason I've come to, I guess, respect the role that radio can play still in current media ever since I've been on the program.
Okay, that said, what are the boundaries of radio? Where can it not go?
Well, speaking from like the legal standpoint is that there are many things that are put out by the FCC involving profanity and copyright usage and things like that that become part of things that radio can't go within the society that we live to today.
Uh-huh.
But if we talk more about like things revolving around where it can't go, and it in some ways radio waves in some ways are all around us, and whether or not we're receiving them or transmitting them is kind of steps beyond that point. And so topically speaking, if we like stay within the realms of what the FCC says is not profane or is not vulgar, then there are, I mean, there's many ways that we can go, whether it be like opening up some of the sonic spectrum to things that aren't heard on your more commercial stations, or if it's pointing out viewpoints that aren't heard on those same sorts of stations. So in some ways, the possibilities are endless within this kind of wireless realm.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to be completely and utterly hopeful and wishful for the medium, that's where I would...
like so really, it wouldn't have too many boundaries then.
Yeah, I think it
would supersede.
And some of the forefathers of radio really thought that it would be used for much more of a point-to-point communication. It would be much more interactive in some ways, that the World Wide Web was talked about as well, as this truly democratization of radio. And part of it is just the unique brand of radio that's in the United States. There are, like in Italy, there's much more an interactivity of radio or low broadcast stations around the U.S., specifically in Japan. They had a big mm-hmm. low broadcast movement there that there were lots of little stations that were broadcasting high-rise to high-rise. It was kind of decentralized in some ways.
It's not a very big audience.
That's true, but if you're in Tokyo in a downtown and you have a mile radius, that could be several million people that could listen.
It's true,
as well.
There's a lot of people in Tokyo, I
yeah,
hear.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
It's
dense.
It's very dense.
Like
certainly one
Tokyo.
Limitation of radio is if the volume's not up, you can't hear it.
Oh, that's right.
That could be a limitation.
Yeah, that's definitely a limitation. Yeah.
You can't read lips on radio.
That's true. I can't really read lips.
Did you see that movie Lost in Translation?
Yeah,
it's a limitation of my own, I guess.
People say mean things, sometimes I can,
that girl,
you know,
was so
the short,
pretty.
Abbreviated words
I
that I can't
I
say
dye
on
my
the
hair.
Radio. All right. A little bit about your audience. To whom does radio address itself? And I want you to listen carefully. A, to the greatest number, the masses. B,
listen carefully.
To the specialists.
Am I some kind of
teacher? Or the enlightened amateur. C,
who wrote this question?
To a privileged social class. Or D, to no one. Do you want me to go through those again?
I think I heard those. Did you hear those, John?
For the most part, yes.
This guy's
so
not even
there's
to
not
me.
An E all of the above.
This guy John is.
That I was hoping for that.
He's
are you
playing
say e?
With things. He's not listening.
Well,
only one of you can say E. If there's all the above, but I think only one person can say E.
My program is a program for the masses heard by no one. Is that a category?
Oh.
So
you
it could
can
it be like A and E and D.
This is going really flat. Am I?
I guess you could say that. So A, you mean to the enlightened amateur, to the specialist.
You know,
no,
when
you
I
said
to no
A,
one.
A was to the masses, I think you said. And D was to no one.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
When I was
so,
going over
so
this
it
in
fits
my
two
head,
categories,
it was much more interesting.
Depending on who it was for
funny.
Or who actually listens.
How come I'm not funny when
I
I'm
see.
Live on radio?
I see.
Not funny.
Tricky one. Yeah, it's definitely tricky. Wait, did you give us one?
No,
John?
Not exactly. I think that in some ways, if we talk
come on,
about
John, be funny, say something interesting.
My program it's partially for, it's partly for the enlightened amateur. Or wait, what was that one?
Oh,
the
that
masses.
Was. You should just say B.
I should say B.
Just say B.
Okay, I would say B. What's B?
Shit, I forgot.
The greatest number.
The greatest number. And I think that in some ways, I think that's what the radio is trying to do in some ways, even though it's not always doing a very good job at making an interesting program for the greatest number.
Okay.
Wait.
All right.
I think that makes
this
sense.
Is quite a noodle to work my head around. But guys,
thorny issue.
Yeah, it is a thorny issue. Indeed. Yeah, well,
if your house was afire, who would you grab on the way out?
specifically with your show, you know, the people, you know, if there was, you said no one's listening, but it's for the masses. But if there was someone listening, who do you think that person would be?
Do you think anyone's listening to the show right now?
Someone with a lot of time on their hands.
Oh, come on, Jerry. I know
that's
not true.
No, you're
In seriousness, I do have a base of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope with a great deal of heavy-duty marketing strategy and a good strategic plan that may break uh-huh. into out of the single digits in the near future. So that's exciting.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
In all seriousness, we do a lot of research, outreach to the labor community. Obviously, working people that are mm-hmm. involved directly in working struggles. So people involved in unions, people involved in organizations that work on issues of concern to working people, immigrants' rights organizations, things like that, community organizations. And certainly we hope that it reaches also kind of average working
CEOs.
People that are not involved. Oh, absolutely. Oh. I try as okay. best I can. Actually, people don't know, but my second life is the head of a large corporation.
Don't say that on the radio. Keep that quiet. Didn't hear that.
So most of my corporate friends listen on a regular basis. They uh-huh. find out what we're planning to overthrow them. How we plan to do that.
Oh, you can't let them know either.
I know.
Ah. Okay. John?
Yes.
The same question.
Okay. And that is who's listening? Wait, I'm sorry.
Your audience.
John wasn't listening is what you're trying
what?
To say.
Yeah, your audience. Who
oh,
do
my
you,
audience.
Who do you think they are?
I think that in some ways because of the station that we're on, WLUW, that some of it is people just flipping on the station because they love the station. And then our hope is that the audience is those that are brave enough to stick around to see what this is and to try to figure out and are interested in what the program or what's going to happen next. So kind of the people that are intrigued by something.
And you never know what's going to happen next with experimental radio.
Well, hopefully we know because we're producing it, but
I wish something would happen.
And that whether it be a program where there's just popping sounds and whether or not there's mm-hmm. some sort of like what that is and someone that's intrigued enough to just listen and be intrigued by the sounds.
Yeah, okay. What do you think the opposite of conversion is?
The opposite of conversion?
Yeah.
Total negativity.
Total negativity.
I don't know what the heck that means.
Okay. Oh, no. That does have a very tangible meaning. All right.
Sure.
So is your show more about conversion or about total negativity?
Why is he
well, is John's
so
show
strange?
Yes.
More John. About conversion or total negativity?
God, I don't know. Well, I'm so uncomfortable.
If we look at negativity in the philosophic meaning of the term,
yeah,
which is pure opposition.
This is so not
in some
going
ways,
the way I thought
that could define my show,
much easier, but
which is a show that's about opposition to
academic.
Society as it exists. Mm-hmm. Whereas John's show is about opposition to radio as it exists. So in that sense,
really
it fits
existential.
In the role of a show of negativity. But in the sense of conversion, I think John
Could
and I try to convert
obtuse?
Our listeners to a whole new approach to either listening to radio or seeing society. But certainly I hope neither one of us has any religious pretensions.
Well, brainwashing.
Oh, I try brainwashing all the time. Uh-huh. As long as it doesn't have any religious content.
Okay.
No, I'm just teasing.
I get that. That's good. Yeah, brainwashing, John?
I haven't experienced brainwashing in a couple months now, so I think that I think it's something that we're not like really interested in as a society because there's enough already as it is. And so I'm
Are
not
we
really
to talk about the military.
I'm not really
show?
Pro brainwashing, I guess.
It's very painful. The hot water inside is very uncomfortable.
Do you think there's hidden Ooh. Cameras in this
yeah,
room?
Yeah, that would be uncomfortable.
I feel like
have you
somebody's
you've done
watching
that
us.
No.
Okay. What about
I just
washing?
Assume it would be.
What about washing?
Washing?
I want to maybe get into talk a little bit about your hairstyles. And how that kind of led you through your shows. how that's influenced you.
Well, John is very stylish.
I don't know if that's true, but
I tend to often say that if
he's attracted
could have my hair look the way I wanted to, I'd have it look like John's.
Well, could you explain John's hair?
Very stylish, very like postmodern.
Big.
I've been
post-structuralist.
Definitely post-structuralist.
Yeah. I've been cutting my hair for over by myself.
That's
with
obvious.
Scissors and a mirror. Alone in my apartment for the past 10 years.
Okay, so survivalist.
It's good.
Survivalist.
Cheapskate.
Expressive.
Or unkempt.
Lazy.
But in a...
You are wordsmiths. You too. You really... Uh-huh.
But unkempt in a... We are producers of unkempt radio.
So you're kind of trying to fit into a mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What about
John? I think is actually the poster child of independent
artist
radio.
Stereotype.
I don't really think that's true.
Have you been on a poster?
That was meant as in a good way too.
No, I haven't. I've never actually been on a poster.
I think this guy needs a date.
Not my
Maybe
face.
We should put his photograph on the website.
But I've made posters that have had my name on it and posted them up.
Oh, but well, that's almost.
Really, yeah,
that's really
that's
weird.
Close.
Yeah.
It's close.
And I guess, yeah, that's not really... It's more pathetic.
Yeah,
no,
kind
don't
of.
Be so hard on yourself.
No, I meant that in a good way.
Pathetic?
No, not in a...
Well, you're for the
poster. The symbol.
The symbol.
The symbol of independent community radio.
Is my hairstyle, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that might be true.
That could work.
Because it's not really a style.
That could
Why
work.
Does the radio
I see
that
have
windows?
Listeners, both of my guests have glasses. Does that go along with that sort of image? Is there something, you know, maybe working
should
against the working image?
Should I go into this intelligence cliche here, or should I drop it? Maybe I should
like
drop it.
You don't
it.
Think of workers as having glasses so often. You think, you know, maybe that's...
Okay, this is not working.
That's the non-workers. It gets in
non-working.
The way. Contacts?
Contacts?
I tried contacts. I'm too lazy to wear contacts. I think that's the
mm-hmm.
that
But
became
your
the
eyes
truth.
Would look really good.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's,
people
it's
would
rough.
Notice your eyes.
You know, I didn't wear glasses before the show, but then I had to stare at a computer screen for night after night editing a show, and my eyes just started to go. No, I've been wearing glasses for a long time. I did try contacts, but my eyes are steel traps, and they will not let anything
Should I bring
get
up this,
near them, including my fingers.
Thing on mm-hmm. his wrist?
So they adamantly refuse to allow contacts.
I think so. The glasses route is definitely the good route for you then. Yeah, definitely.
It's that or blindness, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but, you know, that might be something that John should try out.
And that's true. It's very difficult for me to walk across the street without my glasses on, so...
It could be...
Blind spot.
It could be blind spot. Experimental radio provided by a blind person.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for that show, Blind Justice, about the blind
police officer.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
he's
yeah,
hot.
It's really
yeah.
cool.
Okay, now
yeah,
what? Let's
so
get something interesting. Let's talk about something.
Jerry,
good.
Can we switch seats?
Absolutely. I've been wondering if you'd ask me that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Because
it's you can stay.
I'm kind of
okay.
hot here, and it's really. I'm looking in the mirror. I can see myself. It's really uncomfortable.
Whew. Let's see. There's so much to ask.
I'm still curious about the windows.
What's more important? Clean socks or clean sheets?
Please say clean sheets. Please.
Since I rarely have clean sheets,
oh
I have to go
gosh.
With clean socks.
I'm totally
yeah.
not calling
I'm not even
this
sure
guy.
What that meant, but...
Well, I think
That's a
you
really
had
bad
to choose
sign,
one.
Man. Really bad.
I think that I probably more often have... clean sheets and clean socks because I'm much more likely to recycle a pair of socks that I probably shouldn't than not clean my sheets.
All right.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
that's
answer.
Good to know. Girls,
let's see.
Listen up.
Ought form be derived from the analysis of function?
No, because that leads to really bad art.
Okay.
And very ugly architecture.
Are we talking about art? I think we're talking about radio.
And so,
is there form and function in radio?
Radio and art, they go together.
Radio is radio art. Oh, we don't want to go into that. No. Let's not talk about what is art.
The ideas are not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
This can become extremely academic and really ridiculous.
Okay.
Let's.
What was your greatest opportunity?
And how did you squander it?
Yes.
No, just go ahead.
Okay. My greatest opportunity in general, or my greatest opportunity in a specific realm of concern?
Take that where you want to go. What realm of concern?
What is a realm of concern? I'm not even sure I know what I just said.
It's okay. Just
What's
go with it.
What's that squeaking noise? Okay.
That happens a lot with me.
Yes, yeah, as you
I
can see.
I think he's nervous. He's kind of moving. Am I making him nervous?
My greatest opportunity. Well, certainly being on Blindspot has been a wonderful opportunity.
Okay. Has it been a wonderful opportunity to have Jerry on Blindspot, John?
I think everything's going fairly well so far. Uh-huh. No, it's always good to sit and talk with Jerry.
What did you say you had for breakfast?
I mean, I wouldn't go out for a drink with the
had,
guy, but...
I had black beans cakes, but I didn't say that.
Ew.
Oh.
He's lying. He had small children, he told me earlier.
Cannibal?
Black bean cakes?
Not this week.
What kind of breakfast is that?
All right. Well, so...
Is he a vegetarian?
Who was Oh, let me get this right. I'm sorry. Who discovered penicillin?
The penicillin guy.
I think it was a woman, actually.
Yeah, I think it was a...
Is that incredibly sexist of her?
It was French.
Oh, my God.
It was French woman.
No, it's okay.
Men will never
Curry?
Evolve.
Really?
It is unbelievable.
Is that one?
Yeah, Curry.
I
cannot believe it.
Yeah, I think it was maybe Madame Curry?
Curry, yeah.
Not to be confused with...
With the spice.
The spicy food,
okay.
Which I did not have for
I'm
breakfast
trying to
this
be
morning.
Funny, but I still can't get over this guy and his remark about penicillin.
What do you believe?
Who doesn't know that?
About people. Can they be changed for better or for worse?
And how does this belief relate to your addiction to America's Top Model?
I think
model?
Most people are changed into just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think our society primarily changes people into not better or worse, just bland.
What about your radio show?
Bland.
Well, according to the listener who called in, we do a lot of talking.
Bland.
Which I don't know that if that breaks through the blandness of contemporary society, but certainly
I wonder how old these two guys are.
To create a revolutionary change of consciousness.
They look really young.
So I guess that would be...
Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting.
The problem with the good and bad is that they're again kind of binary religious opposites, you know, of good and bad, evil and dark,
religious,
or evil and good.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about religion, are we?
Like, I'm trying to remove
the
normative content
politics,
from a religious context.
Okay.
I'm really confused. I don't know where I can go.
Do they make people more...
Is the FCC
does the show make people
auditing
more free,
this?
Perhaps.
Wait, what was the last bit? I'm sorry.
Does the show make people more free?
Are we talking about freedom versus security?
And the potentiality for that. Or
we're
does
really
it create
get in trouble.
More limitations?
I know we're going to get in trouble.
Okay. I think I see where you're going.
And
that.
If that
I
was
have
the
no
question,
idea
then
where he's going with this. I
it
have
attempts
no
to
idea what he's talking
allow
about.
To
freedom and
spur forward movements of freedom for people around the planet while enslaving me 20 hours a week.
Are we talking about that word? Perfor?
I have no idea. I think I made it up just now.
Oh.
And I've already forgotten it.
Okay. All right. So. Then I'll glance
okay.
over
okay.
it.
Maybe I should bring up the slavery thing. What is this?
So
are we talking about?
You both. Are you attracted to
I'm
women?
I'm feeling kind of hot.
Yes.
More than I should be.
All right. Okay.
Oh no, I'm
well,
really nervous.
Well, in this
I
case,
I shouldn't have asked that. That was really. Whoa.
Who was the first woman you ever loved?
The first woman who ever loved.
Who was the first person who ever ripped your heart out, drug it through the street, and then threw it in the trash compactor?
I can answer this
sure.
More quickly, I think. The first woman that I ever loved in a mature in more of a grown up way than just the like, oh,
you know,
I
this
loved
is the
Lisa
type
Gardner
of question you should just answer.
Crushing.
Yeah, that was much a crush.
Crushing.
Would most
Who
likely
really?
Be Lisa Frankie. I'm sorry.
Frankie.
Wait.
Lisa.
See, now I
forgot. My name's
her
Lisa.
Name.
My goodness. This is not
that
a real
Lindsay.
Lindsay Frankie.
Lindsay. You can't even remember her name.
And that would probably be the first woman that I.
This is really.
Lindsay Frankie.
Okay.
Actually.
I'm not sure if that's
the first one I ever loved. Began the process of destroying my being only about two blocks from where we sit now.
Oh, that's kind of parallel to what I was thinking.
Maybe
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go deeper
so that's
this.
Interesting.
This is
I,
good.
I
self-disclosure. Right
two blocks away
Let's
from
two
where
blocks
yeah,
in a parking
yeah.
lot
oh.
in my car
oh.
began to unravel
I wonder if she's
my whole
listening right now.
Self-image.
Oh my goodness. So she basically ripped your heart out.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
poor
which
guy.
Is
drug it.
Maybe
the
I should
street.
Invite him for a
drug
track
and
afterwards.
Drag,
okay. Oh, that's yeah, that works well. Do you
He's
think
like
she's
a
listening
puppy
tonight?
Dog.
Since she, at some point in time she decided to have nothing to do with anything that has anything to do with me, probably
I wonder if he's making this up to try to
even
make me feel sorry for
parts
him.
Parts of the planet that I've been
No,
at
he seems like a nice
time,
guy.
So
I don't think
it.
He'd make that up.
All right. I hope you're now over her, all right.
Well, since I'm now suffering from
because
another
I'm available.
Round of being oh. crushed and trampled, it's,
really
it's brought up bad memories.
How about
really
some
sweet.
Rebound action?
I hope you get through that. Okay,
we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you do for relaxation?
Clean
when
socks,
you're not being
clean
sheets, saddened.
What
by
is
women?
This concept of relaxation you speak of?
I think that I think that on a more practical note, I think one of the things that I try to do for relaxation is
maybe that was
I
a bad segue
relaxed
question.
When I'm biking to work or walking in between things, as well as spending time with friends and
yoga,
and which are all very hopeful and wishful things, but they also
deep
are
breathing,
very,
deep breathing.
You know, those are the things
deep.
That I try to do.
It's okay.
Do you,
there's probably
so
10
going
people
with
listening
being
right
with
now,
friends.
Just don't worry about it.
You don't find
Nobody
that relaxing.
Knows who you are.
No, it is most,
oh, okay.
most of the time.
Okay, good.
It'll all be over.
I'm glad to
in
hear that people
minutes.
Don't make you anxious.
No.
See, the hard part to answer for me there.
Yeah,
I don't believe that.
When I decide to relax. And I become anxious about spending time relaxing and not working, and then I go back to work, so I no longer feel anxious about not working. Which
okay,
part
let's
is
go
the
back to the relationship thing because this is boring.
Yeah, that is tough to pinpoint. There must be a
let's
certain
talk more
instant
about heartbreaking.
So yeah, when was the last time you cried? It doesn't have to be in conjunction with you know having
and
your
when,
heart broken.
When was the last time someone laughed at you while you cried?
Oh, was. Oh,
oh my God!
Was
this
there,
guy is
was
so
it,
pathetic. I can't.
Were you all
it.
Alone, or did someone?
I,
trigger
I don't
that?
Know whether to like kick him in the butt
in
or
ongoing painful
caress his head.
Memory toward a sort of fashion.
Oh man! Oh,
I
this is getting depressing.
Do I have to
I'm
answer
really
this?
Sure
you have to
go
that
from
time.
Here.
Oh no, mine. Could John mine say was something? Just probably more, not as recent, but probably a couple months ago.
A couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah. I don't have my day planner. I don't know exactly what it was.
He no writes in each incident when he cries.
Yeah.
In
Wait
planet.
A minute. He writes
no,
it down,
oh,
but
would,
he's,
okay.
he doesn't
he's
remember?
Much more on top of his crying.
You don't remember? You don't remember what it was about?
It was, I mean, it was... I'm,
you gotta remember.
Come on.
Yeah, no,
give me
was,
a break.
It was mid-January.
Mid-January.
But you don't remember
okay.
what
Somewhere
it was about.
Between the 10th and the 22nd.
And you
what
have
were you
no
crying
idea.
About?
What were you crying about?
Part
you,
of
you
it,
don't have to go into it.
Oh
really,
no,
but
a part of it was just.
But that's
of
kind of interesting.
That was,
if you
coming through in some of my social life at that time, and some of it was, some of it just kind of frustrations with my work life and my social life to be
oh,
as broad as
like
I can.
Oh, he's like a puppy.
Aww.
I just want
to. Oh, John.
Touch his head. That's so sweet.
That is sweet.
Oh, these two guys are
All
so
right.
great. I just
we
don't know what to do.
We both fell in love with John just now.
I know.
I think.
Oh,
I fell in love with
so
him.
So it goes.
Just
yeah, I think so. That's really.
First what? Was the hair, but then it was the deep emotional.
Well, I asked you to really detail him, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that started it with you. And then now we see the
and it's this like self-preservation, but he was really deaths. Kind of
that's true.
Trying
that's definitely
to reach
alluring,
out.
But don't get drowned. Don't drown yourself in that. Watch out, Jerry.
I don't know. I'm falling into a deep ocean.
I don't know what I'm
right
talking
about.
Drowning.
A deep ocean of John Wenzel.
I'm kind of confused.
Well, I'm sure that there may
I think
be
we're
one or two
embarrassing John. Maybe
that
we should talk about
myself.
Maybe we
Wait,
should talk about
yes.
me.
Hold no, on. No, just people. I not in this room.
Okay. All right. Well, I went to the zoo today.
That's good.
What was my favorite animal at the zoo?
The human beings.
Why is this guy always trying to be funny? He's just
but
he's
they
trying to
one-up
me on everything. I come up with a
so
cool question, and he one-ups
freedom
me.
Freedom for all living beings.
That may be
Can't
close.
Can't he just let me be
that
cool for a minute?
That idea is definitely close.
Can he just let
oh,
me?
Oh, I would probably either say A, leopards, or B, something in the primate house.
It was the primates. Ooh. Duh. We were talking about it on
yeah,
the way up
the
here.
Yeah, the primates are pretty close.
You
but
know,
I like the sentiment of the
how smart they
humans.
Are.
Actually, but... You know, I saw a leopard today as well.
Oh,
yeah,
was,
I didn't tell him about the leopard.
He was coughing up a hairball, and this is what it sounded like. Okay, what do you see as the biggest threat to radio?
Myself.
Oh.
corporate
I think it
power,
might be
obviously.
Programs like this.
Corporate power. Why do you think corporate power is going to consolidate radio more and more?
Yeah, I mean, we've
How
seen the consolidation of in radio of these
power?
Media megalopolies that
mm-hmm.
you know now control
further delve into
all kinds
the
of stations,
dogmatic hype.
TV, radio,
I see.
Newspapers.
So it's all about the man bringing the radio
it,
down.
The result
I
is
see.
Just
it
more
has nothing
more,
to do with the quality of programming. I mean,
less and less voices on air.
This program has been
more,
extremely interesting. I think. I mean. I would listen to this.
You know,
it's quite engaging, actually.
Well,
but I think you know what I'm saying.
I think I do. But this is a great program, isn't it? You know what
oh,
I'm
absolutely.
Saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've stayed away from the consolidation of corporations. The corporate
totally
corporations
alternative,
consolidating us.
Cutting edge.
I think that one of the things that really. Is a fear of radio, and whether or not it comes to pass and is true is just people starting to get their news elsewhere, and people's expectations of what is on the radio to go down. I think that's one of like my biggest fears of radio.
Why is he sweating?
Do you think that blogs are going to replace radio?
I was going to say.
I hope not, because I don't really understand them.
Well, I was going to say the whole digital field. Is a double-edged sword in some ways because it opens up programs like ours to an audience they could have never reached otherwise. But one of the problems with the development of the internet is the kind of ability for people to go to very niche kind of places and avoid.
I never noticed that
you know,
church over there before.
The rest of the world
That's
around
kinda
them.
Cool.
And
mm-hmm.
so.
That's
you know,
scary.
Yeah.
See,
I mean,
I don't think they should
in
have
some ways,
windows in
it,
this studio.
There's a both a democratic
totally
and anti-democratic aspect to the digital world.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if they're negotiating the invisibility of their audiences.
What, now as you sit here, are you negotiating the invisibility of yourselves to your audience? I mean, to the lonely person out there listening.
I think it's something that I
do. You sometimes
start
think that
think
you're all alone in the radio studio
much.
And
I mean,
nobody's listening.
When I first started
to
doing
you.
Some radio, I kind of thought a little bit more about the kind of the exactness of the audience of whether it be someone.
Are
like
you
washing
really
dishes,
just a audience shy thespian?
Driving in their car and wondering like where to turn off and or someone turning down the radio because they just got a cell phone call or something like that, but. Part of the
I thought we were talking
kind of
about
just
audience.
Accepted that I'm much more of a voice to some people than to others.
So some people just dismiss you then. Is what you're saying. Some of your audience dismisses.
Yeah. Yes.
Turns it down.
Yeah.
Turns the radio down.
Yeah, and that's the strange interaction with the audience that the station gets to is this strange, continual dismissal.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. I just, these boys are just like puppies.
Wait, what
they
again about the invisibility of your
crying,
audience?
They had their heart broken.
Oh, okay, I remember. Dismissal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Audience.
So,
I mean, if
your
listening
house
to
were
these
a fire,
people?
Who would you grab on the way out?
I think anyone listening should send in letters or emails.
Not myself.
They need some feedback, you know? They need some kind of...
Oh, come on. But...
listen to this. I mean, they really need some
encouragement. But you have to take yourself to grab someone else.
But see, I live
you
with
can't
no
just grab
one,
yourself.
So I don't have to worry about the other aspect of that.
Yeah,
did
I live
say
alone as
you
well.
Can't grab yourself?
So if the question is who, then it would be anyone else
is
that's
that
in the apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, expand it outside of your apartment.
Area I really don't want to talk about.
Or your
so
house.
So this is
my
conceptual house is on fire. Who would I take?
Who you would take?
Who?
Yeah. One person.
Your conceptual house. I like
sort
that
of
idea.
Feel like I'm on fire. It's so hot in here.
Conceptual house right
it's
now.
It's disgusting.
Sorry, it's kind of hot in here.
Aren't studios supposed to be cold?
I probably... It'd probably be my dad. I don't know.
Oh,
your dad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Could somebody send in some fan
nice
mail to
awful
these people
at the same,
I mean,
yeah.
same time?
It would be great.
Your dad and there's always and not.
Not your dog.
Somebody.
Not
yeah.
Your dog. Something
not
like that.
Me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Not me.
Well,
see, if I don't leave the burning,
who would you
house,
want to
no
be on fire with you?
Oh,
that would be a much
fire.
Better question.
Oh, that's so nihilistic. Nihilistic. Okay, so I'm going to ask.
Name three
about
primary
actions.
Colors.
Oh, I want to know about the three primary colors. What are the three primary colors? There's three, right?
Yes,
it's red, blue, yellow.
Those damn elitist colors.
Elitist? Blue. Secondary
always
colors?
Always think they're more superior than
how
all other
so
colors.
So elitist. Oh.
The secondary I colors.
See. So what about the secondary colors? Do you feel
green.
More of a friend to the secondary colors?
I feel a friend to the tertiary colors. Do those exist?
Yeah.
They could. Like
oh.
the pastels.
Oh, is that pastel? Oh.
No, well.
Do you like pastels?
Akin to pastels. That's interesting.
I'm much more
yeah.
into the sort of burnt umber.
I wouldn't
umber.
Have expected that, but I guess I am.
Yeah, paisleys Raw too.
Ochre.
I feel like they should ochre. That would
ochre.
Be.
Could I pronounce
yeah,
that
it would,
right?
It would
I
be a. It technically,
it's ochre, right?
Technically,
I never
it
really know. I'm really much more into the earthy
color.
Colors.
Those would be like a.
Those
a
are like the
like
the fourth year colors. Fourth year, fifth year,
or a blue purple, meaning that they would be.
Those are the
octagary
colors.
One in the hue.
Purple?
Heavier on the
I hate purple.
Red side or the blue side.
I see what you're
purple.
Saying.
I was always
There's
loved with
purple
blue
in this
green
room
when I was a kid. Or
blue
aqua.
Green.
So what does that
this
mean?
Is
aqua.
I don't
that
know where to go with this. Why did I ask that question?
Water?
True.
Cool,
true.
Water. Lapping water.
That's true.
Should we go into
nice
psychoanalysis
color.
Here? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we could go into psychoanalysis. We could psychoanalyze those colors if you want.
If anyone wants to
yeah,
psychoanalyze
colors, themselves.
Maybe.
Well, your appreciation of the colors.
Because I was waiting for the colors to speak, which I thought would be quite quite interesting.
So
that's yeah.
Okay, I'm acting really stupid now.
No. That's me.
How can a poll of only 1,000 Americans represent 260 million people with only a 3% margin of error?
Hold on. I want to ask you about a poll. How can a poll of 1,004 people represent a whole nation of 260 million people? 260 million people?
Well, as a poll myself, uh-huh. or at least 90% poll,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never quite understood statistics.
He's a poll.
So
he's
I'm
Polish?
The wrong person to ask.
That's hot. Uh-huh. I love
so,
polls. And I like
do
Russians,
you mean you're Polish?
Too.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, those two Russians today were
and
so
And how do you feel
cute.
About the Russians?
But that pop music
I feel
has
worse
got
about
to
the
go.
Polls, so
oh
you feel worse about the polls?
The worse about the polls. I
no,
mean,
the,
I love
the
Polish
sausage. Polish history is does not speak highly of polls.
Standing up for their rights.
But Rich's
standing
Deli,
rights,
that's
or
great.
Anybody else's or
that's true.
Oh, have you ever been there?
But they do make a good tromping ground country.
Yes, they do.
You know.
I don't know if that's... You've got maybe that I shouldn't talk to. About this. We're going to get all of kinds of people calling about all of our history. Oh, no.
Maybe say I'm something good about subject.
The Polish. Okay. Say something good.
But
they have great cheese.
I do think, just back on the topic, I do think the Polish
they're very strong.
Very good cheese.
Excellent
very
food.
Strong.
Great sausage.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent sausage. Excellent food.
And I'm going home to cook some later on for my coworkers. So.
No way. For
and
John?
Those Polish construction workers.
I have to be
so
here
hot.
Till 2. So.
And probably I'm, only and I'm a 18, vegetarian, though.
So. Construction. Do you ever do construction? Either one
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, I do.
You do a lot of construction.
Yeah.
It's too bad you're not Polish.
Well, I'm drawing up plans to you know, what, I'm not, but I live Wanzel? In a Polish neighborhood.
What'd you say?
So.
What is Wanzel? Is it German?
It sounds German, but shouldn't it be Wanzel?
There's two stories in my family, and one is that it's because there's two different sides that pronounce it different. One is Wanzel, and one is Wanzel or Wanzel. My family came from the valley. Both sides of my family came from the valley between France and Germany. That, depending on what year it was French or German.
The Alsace area.
Yeah.
They also have good sausages.
Yeah, by Strasbourg.
Good.
So.
Yeah.
So does that engender a certain schizophrenia if you were kind of in a place that was French and German at the
same
time?
I don't know if that's the cause of any mental
of
problems.
Yours.
Oh, or just any.
Okay.
Any
well, I'm definitely a self-hating Pole. That's for sure.
There's so many self-hating people out there.
Is schizophrenia a major problem in America? Because there's so many American mutts. I wonder if we should we won't bring that up.
You know, maybe talking about the two of you, and you described yourselves a little bit just as far as hair, but if you were in a fist fight with each other, who do you think win?
John.
This could be the Poles against the Alsatians or Germans,
that's true.
French?
Franco-Germans.
Oh, that sounds good.
I don't know. It sounds better. You think I'd win?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Apparently, I'd win.
Yeah?
I guess I really don't think John would win. Advantage. I mean, he's tall, but he's really thin.
You're tall. You've got that. You've definitely got that.
I understand how to use levers.
Uh-huh.
So I could use that to
but
my
he
advantage.
Has that he was
absolutely.
Mentioning that he has a back problem, and then he was talking about his
yeah, I don't know.
His back hurts. And
I have a bad back and bad knees, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
but that would just make him even more aggressive, because the pain from his back and his knees would just fill him with
adrenaline,
anger. Yeah.
Yeah. What about, do you think I could take you guys on?
Oh, absolutely.
One at a time or both of us?
Both.
At the same time?
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Sure, I can.
Maybe. I don't know. I still have a height advantage.
Yeah, but you are kind of wimpy looking.
You're
I think I could take him on.
You've got the height.
I think I could take them both on.
But, well,
I mean, you're
plus
kind of scrappy.
I'm a bit
I think
smarter
it,
than
it would be
they
a tough
are.
Fight.
I was thinking the same about you. Yeah, it'd be a tough fight. But anyway, maybe we could, you know, what was your favorite part of this interview quickly? Look back.
This moment.
Oh, now you got the moment.
When you first saw my
contemplation
face.
Contemplation of the previous 55
when I laughed at your jokes.
Moment.
All right. I'm laughing now. Yeah. Maybe what was your
I kind of like when it got off to the primary colors. As well as some of the it was kind of fascinating to listen to Jerry talk about my hair, because I really don't think of it that much.
I enjoyed that.
It was kind of funny.
And the thing about the primary colors just had to come out finally.
Yeah, I know. It's been veiled for a long time, but I'm glad you brought that to the forefront.
I think this went okay, but...
I think this was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Sure,
is there anything we should
it.
Cover quickly? Any... Or
we
should we
like,
end it?
Yeah, let's end
I think
it.
That,
I think
no, just that...
end the show, or... I had to confirm this at this
interview.
Point in my life. Oh, okay.
Good. Oh, yeah.
The interview.
That's right. It's been... It's you hear that a lot, it sounds like, these days. So, all
I mean,
right.
We could go for a drink afterwards or something. Should I bring that up?
Yeah, so...
Maybe they
let's,
could ask me.
Let's wrap
me.
This up. You've been listening to our interview together, and... Thank you very much, Jerry, and thank you very much, John.
Thank you
for
no problem.
Coming and speaking with us. I'm Lisa Miller. This is Blind Spot. And we've enjoyed you all listening. Yes, we've enjoyed you listening.
I've enjoyed you listening.
Listening to Blind Spot, Up Close and Personal, an interview about the creation of radio. Tonight's program featured the voice talents of Carrie Butler, Jerry Mead, Lisa Miller, and John Wanzel. Tonight's questions were composed by Carrie Butler and Lisa Miller. The program was conceived and produced by John Wanzel. Tune in next week for Backwards Masking, featuring Jacob Christopher Hams, Tom Bailey, Eric Humphrey, Philip von Zweck, and others. Thank you for listening. This has been Blind Spot.